In a new development, Brittany Spears' recently appointed lawyer filed a court motion to have her father, Jamie Spears, immediately removed as conservator of her estate. The move comes as little surprise to those closely following the case. When Brittany Spears spoke out against her conservatorship for the first time in June, she painted a picture of a system that controlled everything about her life. She alleged that her father's team even prevented her from removing an IUD.
I was told right now in the conservatorship, I'm not able to get married or have a baby. I have a ID inside of myself right now, so I don't get pregnant. I wanted to take the ID out so I could start trying to have another baby, but this so-called team won't let me go to the doctor to take it out because they don't want me to have children, any more children.
The claim horrified fans and sparked instant outrage online as many wondered, how could this happen to someone like Britney Spears? How could this happen to anyone at all? Well, according to freelance journalist and commentator Sarah Luderman, for women under conservatorships, forced birth control is routine. She wrote about this in The Nation and joins us now to tell us more. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I think a lot of people might be surprised to learn that what Britney Spears is alleging happened to her has happened to others. Give us a sense of the scale of this. How common is it for a conservatorship to control a woman's birth control?
It's so common that it is almost never challenged. When I spoke with lawyers at Disability Rights Oregon and Disability Rights California, they said that there had rarely been any cases in which a person under conservatorship contested birth control and won. There isn't any special permission needed for more temporary forms of birth control like an IUD. There is supposed to be permission sought for sterilization surgery, but even that, the rules are rarely followed, and it's treated as routine by many medical professionals.
Well, talk more about that, because you mentioned in your piece that some people under conservatorships can also be subject to more permanent forms of birth control, like forced sterilization. Where is that happening, Sarah, and is that legal?
It's happening everywhere. It's explicitly legal in about 25 states and in a sort of gray area in the other half of the states. So, yeah, it's a very widespread practice. Every state has different laws about, like, what the restrictions are, what the notification system is, how much of a legal process there needs to be. But in general, it's a fairly poorly regulated system.
So what protections do women under conservatorships have, if any?
So that varies by state. Also, the protections that people have tend to be, they can be very technical. So, like, for example, for Britney Spears in California, technically Britney Spears has the right to refuse medical treatment. So when she was first getting her IUD implanted, she could have said, I do not want this IUD, and the doctor would have to follow what she said. However, the conservator controls so many other aspects of her life that it's very easy and common to just coerce someone into making the medical decision you want them to make. So Britney Spears could say, I don't want this IUD, and then the conservator could say, you like where you live? I'm going to take you and put you somewhere worse. You're not going to see your friends. You're not going to see your romantic partner. You're not going to be able to go out and do anything. You're not going to be able to go to restaurants or go to cafes or go to the movies. None of that until you get the IUD. And that would be completely above board and legal.
There is really a dark history of forced sterilizations of people with disabilities. Remind us of that larger context, Sarah.
Yeah, so California in particular had one of the biggest eugenics programs in the United States. So eugenics was like a popular, it was a very popular idea around the turn of the century. And it's sort of like a perversion of Darwin. So the idea behind eugenics is that you can sort of like breed a better person the way you'd breed a type of dog or a horse. So like, for example, in the southern United States, black women and girls were often subjected to sterilization, regardless of whether they had a mental health history or not, or a disability history. It was so common that it was called a Mississippi appendectomy, and this ran all the way through the 1970s. In Puerto Rico, sterilization from government-sponsored doctors was so widespread that about a third of the population, of the female population there, was sterilized at one point in time. And that also ran up through the 1970s.
There are some really thorny ethical issues with regard to the conservatorships and conservators who think it's necessary to get a court order to put their ward, who has disabilities, on birth control. Some might argue that conservators are attempting to protect their wards with certain disabilities from exploitation or pregnancy when, you know, they may not be able to be a capable parent. What do you make of that argument, Sarah?
So I find that the argument around exploitation to be a little bit disturbing because sterilizing someone with a disability does not prevent them from being sexually assaulted. It just means they won't get pregnant if they are sexually assaulted. So I just find that argument really frustrating because it seems like it's not addressing the real problem. In terms of whether someone can be a fit parent or not, you know, like maybe some people can, maybe some people can't. The issue just has to do with like the idea of choice and who's allowed to make choices and whose choices are taken seriously.
And so how do you change this? What's the road to changing what's wrong with these conservatorships?
Yeah, well, so I mean, there's always going to be a need for some kind of proxy decision making. That's just a fact of reality. Like, there are some people who are not going to be able to articulate what they want, or who may not be able to understand a certain situation in order to make a make a meaningful choice. That's just a fact of life. But there's no reason that whatever that proxy decision making is has to be so total, so extreme in every sense of a person's life. And I think really what we should be doing is maximizing choice. When we talk about school children with disabilities, the standard is something called the least restrictive environment. The idea is to give someone as much freedom of choice as possible. And for some reason, that doesn't extend to adults. And maybe it should.
Hmm. Well, do you think the Britney Spears case and the publicity surrounding it will make change?
I hope so. I'm really optimistic about this because it's been something that people don't talk about because of shame, because of the deeply personal nature of the problem, because most people who are under guardianship or conservatorship don't have the platform Britney Spears has, may not be able to express or articulate themselves the way Britney Spears does. So I'm just really interested to see where things go. And I feel optimistic about the future because like just that people are having a conversation about it and that there's interest is a huge step forward.
Sarah Luderman is a freelance journalist and commentator. She writes about disability, politics, research, and culture. Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you.